Because he teaches us to come boldly to the throne. He teaches us to ask, seek, and knock. And if you have to, pound on that door until he answers you. But your heart has to want it. Your heart has to knock for it.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is A Tale of Two Gates and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
All right. If we could stand one last time in the reverence to God's holy word, we are in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, a tale of two gates. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will anoint me today to speak your words and not my own. I pray, O God, that your words will root into our hearts and that we may leave this place today sharing them with others in the world. And we thank you, God. May you grow your kingdom through us. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Still continuing his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us the direction we are to take in order to have eternal life through him. These verses warn us not to take the wrong way, but to enter through the narrow gate. The warning is there because people are going the wrong direction in their search to reach God. The direction is there to give them the correct way to go in order to reach God. This is the most important thing that you're going to learn, that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. And we're going to find out why today. My first point is two gates, two choices. Two gates, two choices. Jesus is telling us in these verses that we have a choice and that the choice is up to us. He is also telling us which choice to make. He's not suggesting it. He's firmly telling you which direction you need to go in, okay? The choice Jesus is talking about is the way in which we reach for God. That's the choice that God is talking about. We can come to God through Jesus, which is referred to in these verses as the narrow gate. Or we can reach for him, we can reach for God through our own way, the broad gate. You have a choice. There is no middle ground. Two roads you can take. The broad gate method. Let's take a look at this one first. I think we're all guilty of this in some way or another at some time in our lives, okay? False religion, self-righteousness, good works or behavior, idolatry, including a false image of God. That is the broad gate method. False religions are made up of rituals and ideas that somehow it is up to the individual to please God through works. This kind of a person says, I go to church every Sunday. I read my Bible every day. I even know my Bible. I have it memorized. I give to the church regularly. I pray to God all the time. Of course he accepts me. I do all the religious things that's required of me. How could God possibly reject me? I have news for you. There are plenty of people who sit in a Christian church or other churches every Sunday or every day of the week, and they are not saved by Jesus Christ. Any more than me going into a garage makes me a mechanic. Trust me, you could go down and get your oil changed, and I could be in the garage area with a uniform on, with a car manual in my hand, calling it my car Bible, and I could have the name tag like I'm a part of the garage, but you would not want me working on your vehicle, because I am not a mechanic. The religious leaders in Jesus' time believed religious works saved them. And Jesus called them out on that in John 5:39. He says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me." Reading your Bible, knowing your Bible, memorizing your Bible, all important. Wouldn't suggest you stop. But if that's all you're doing and you're not accepting Jesus Christ, you've missed the point of the Bible. And Jesus wants us to get to that point. Now, this is something a lot of people don't know. But all religions except Christianity. This is what sets our beliefs apart. This is why Christianity is different than every single religion on the face of the earth. All religions, every single one of them except Christianity, leave it up to the individual to earn forgiveness from God. All the other religions, you've got to do something to please God. Every single other religion on the face of the earth requires you to do a work of some type in order to please God and be accepted and to be forgiven by Him. Christianity is grace and grace alone. It's entirely up to God to save you. The word Jesus actually means God saves. That's because He's doing all the work. That's because He's doing all the work. We don't have to do the work. Jesus does it for us. Self-righteousness is another trap that leads to the broad gate. It dictates that we are good enough already. I'm a good person. I'm not a murderer. I'm not a thief. Or whatever it is you deem a bad person. It dictates that God forgives us based on our own goodness and self-worth. I do good things all the time. Why would God reject me? You should see my list of friends on Facebook. Hundreds. For you Facebookers out there. If they accept me, surely God. Another trap is good works. Good works assumes we can earn our way to God by doing good things and behaving well. Not the same thing as religious works. Good works is like I give to charities. I help my neighbor out all the time. I never cause trouble for anybody. In fact, I'm a peacemaker. Okay? I do all these good things. And when I get to heaven, God is going to take all the good things that I did, and He's going to compare them to all the bad things that I did. And I'm going to have more good things than bad things. And that's how I'm going to get into heaven. Because my good is going to outweigh my bad. Oh, sure, I'm a bad person at times. But overall, I'm a good person. And God knows this about me. That is a trap. You see, faith produces good works. Okay? But good works do not produce faith. In other words, people who are saved, people who are Christians, when you see them doing their good works that they're doing it because the Holy Spirit is within them, and they're doing good works because they're saved. We do good works because we are saved through Jesus Christ. We do not do them to be saved. Amen? Idolatry method. This is a good one because this is a tricky one. You shall love the Lord with all of your heart, mind, and soul. Why did God put mind in there? Well, we're going to find out. It involves having a false image of God or worshiping something that is not God. Even a false perspective of God can be idolatry. an all-loving God will never send someone to hell. That is a false image of God. The God of the Bible, as he is revealed in his word, sends people to hell. I know that we don't want to hear that. Political correctness says that I am wrong, but the word of God stands true forever. And this is what God does to those who do not accept the free gift of Jesus Christ. It's reality. You can think and believe and idolatrize all you want to, but this is what God teaches in his word. If you do not accept Jesus Christ, you will not be saved by any other method. It just doesn't work any other way. Now, although we have two choices, we only have one way to get to God. So let's look at the wrong way and the right way. Point two, the wrong way and the right way. I know you guys were dying to hear this, right? So let's find out about these two different directions. First, it's hard to see the gate that leads to life. We are blinded by our own sin. You see, when you're involved in sin and you're lost, that's why they call it being lost, you can't see the way out. You're blinded by your own sin. Your sin tells you you are right and that God is wrong. Your sin agrees with you, and you agree with your sin. So therefore, when someone says, look over there at Jesus and go his way, people say, I can't even see what you're talking about. You see, the Bible says that it is foolishness to those who are perishing. The gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing. They just don't see it. Talk to somebody about Jesus who's lost, and they don't get it. They'll look at you like, huh? I'm doing fine. What are you talking about? Number two, it is not immediately or naturally seen. God must call us in order for us to see the gate to life. See, God calls us. That doesn't mean we always answer the way we're supposed to answer. But he does call us because there is no way that a person just walking down the road all by themselves and on their own says, oh, look, I should accept Jesus Christ. It doesn't happen that way. God has to call them. In John 6:44, Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So Jesus is backing up what I'm saying. Thank you, Jesus. I appreciate that. It's good to have the Lord here on my side when I'm doing this. Praise God. The point is that unless God shows you the gate, you'll never know that it's there. This is important to know when we're witnessing to other people. There are times when I'm trying to tell someone about Jesus and the Lord says, they can't see it. They're not listening. The narrow gate must be sought after. Okay, so let's say God calls you. You know about the gate, but Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Do you think that Jesus is talking about presents for Christmas? Do you think he's talking about all the cool things you can get when you pray for him? He's talking about spiritual things. He's talking about the gate to receive salvation. He's talking about getting the Holy Spirit inside of you. But see, you have to ask, and then it will be given to you. But you have to seek, and then you will find what it is that you were looking for. And you will have to knock, and then it will be open to you. This gate is very narrow. Number four, the wide gate is in front of us. It's easier to see. The narrow gate is behind us and requires us to turn around or repent in order to enter. This is very difficult for people to do. So your whole life you have this big, broad gate standing before you, and you see how big and easy it is to walk right through it, but the gate that leads to life is behind you. And the only way that you're going to get into that gate is if you turn your back on that gate of sin and walk towards Jesus. Amen? Does anybody understand? You have to turn around to reach the narrow gate. You have to stop where you're going towards the broad gate, towards the sin of your life. And you have to turn around and go towards Jesus Christ. That's why people don't see the narrow gate, because they won't turn around to look at the narrow gate, because they're too busy staring their own sin in the face. They're too busy embracing their own sin. They're too busy being blinded by their own sin. Sin is a powerful light that blinds us. Okay, the wide gate offers the world to us. The narrow gate offers God to us. You see, this wide gate that Jesus is talking about has a lot of false promises to it. It looks like something you want. It looks like something you need. And it certainly is something you desire. And so when you look at this broad gate, it's very appealing to you. And you want to go towards it. And it feels like the right thing, the natural thing to do. But it is not. It is the wrong direction to enter into. The wide gate is easily passable, but leads to eternal condemnation. The narrow gate leads to life through Jesus. The wide gate is this trap. When I was a little kid, we lived in Hawaii, and they used to catch mongooses. Anybody know what a mongoose is? It looks like a Tasmanian devil in the shape of a squirrel. Those things are mean. And they would get this big cage with a big door on it, because these are smart little animals. And they would put this bait right in the middle. And when they would go for the bait, it would look really good and juicy to them. And they would pull on that bait, and then the gate, the wide gate of the cage, would crash down on them, and they'd be trapped. It was really easy for them to get in, but it was impossible for them to get out. This is what we're talking about today. The broad gate is really easy and very appealing to walk into. Okay? Everything in your mind says it's the right thing to do. Now, many people enter the wide gate, and people doing so have plenty of company. The narrow gate is often a lonely road that we travel by ourselves. Now, see, when I used to be invited to church, I didn't want to go because nobody would sit with me and I was lonely. No, but seriously, people don't like to be alone in something. People like company. Ever hear of misery loves company? You see other people doing it, it's got to be the right thing to do. Wrong. So many people enter the wide gate, and people doing so have plenty of company. The majority of the people in the world go towards the broad gate. The narrow gate is often a lonely road that we travel by ourselves. It's true. It is very true. The wide gate looks inviting because there is so much activity going on around it and so many people traveling through it. It appears to be the way to go. You see, when you look at the wide gate and you're watching all of these people that are indulging in that direction, it seems like that's the way to go as well. Well, everybody else is doing it. That many people cannot be wrong. It doesn't matter what you believe. It matters what is truth. Jesus Christ is the what? The life, the way, and the truth. Amen? So the wide gate looks inviting because there is so much activity going on around it, and so many people traveling through it, right? And it appears to be the way to go. The wide gate is wide enough to fit all ideals, all beliefs, all appetites, all philosophies, all sin, all selfishness. This gate is swung wide open and everyone can fit through it. That means you could take your baggage of sin with you. You don't have to give anything up to squeeze through it. But see, when you go through the narrow gate, some things have to come off of you. The narrow gate is too skinny for you to fit in with all your stuff. You have to give that sin up to get through it. Not the wide gate. You can walk right in holding your stuff and everybody else is with you. Praise God. Check right in. No problems. No security check at the gate. You just go right through. The narrow gate says, hold it. What's that you're carrying? Sin. Give it to me. You got to check your bag of sin in with Jesus so you can enter it. Amen? The wide gate is readily accepted by most people, making it easier for us to agree with going through it ourselves. Come on, how many people have told you that you know, I'm a good person. God loves me. I'm good. How many of you would agree that you're good people? It got real quiet when I said that, except for one person. I'm not a good person, not in the eyes of God. The Bible says that there is only one good, that's God himself. God is good. God is love. God is perfect. I'm not. I'm not getting on you. Just try a little harder. I said, we got to keep going. The wide gate is readily accepted by most people, making it easier for us to agree with going through it ourselves. Everybody likes to have somebody agree with them, right? And everybody wants to agree with what sounds good, what feels good. The narrow gate is rejected by most, making it hard for many to walk through it for fear they too will be rejected. Did you know that a lot of people stay away from Jesus because they don't want to be rejected? They don't want to be persecuted. Fear of rejection. Fear of rejection will keep you from going through the narrow gate. It's true. When you come to Jesus, those who don't accept him will have something against you. You'll suddenly find that the deeper you get into this gate, the further away your friends who are not Christians will be from you. You could lose some friends over this. You could lose, but you've got the best friend in exchange, don't you? Okay, the wide gate lets us indulge ourselves. The narrow gate calls for us to deny ourselves. Oh, this is a big one. See, you've got two choices. You could go to the big party, or you could go to the place that says, give it all up. But see, the big party isn't really such a big party after all, is it? Because we all know what happens after a party. It's a mess, isn't it? People break stuff at parties. People overindulge at parties. And the next day, they regret the party. There's a price to pay. There's a price to pay. But see, listen to this. The wide gate lets us indulge ourselves. There's no rules in this gate. It's whatever you feel like doing. If you don't want to give up your sin, that's okay. God loves you anyways. He cares about you. And besides that, you do all these other good things that outweigh the bad that you're doing. Surely God forgives you because you've got more good than bad. That's the wide gate talking. It's not the same thing. The narrow gate says you have to deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. The narrow gate says that this life was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, and now you owe him. You owe him in the sense that you are to serve him out of love. Did not Jesus say that if you love me, you will obey my commandments? That's surrendering yourself. Did Jesus not say that you have to pick up your cross daily and follow me? That's denying yourself. A lot of people don't want to do that. A lot of people says, why should I do that when I can live any way I want to? Why should I go by these rules? Love is not a rule. He said, if you love me, the side effect of that love will be obedience. And when you're doing something out of love, it's not even work anymore, is it? I no longer call you my servants, but my friends. That's another quote from Jesus. Okay, my third point. How to enter the narrow gate. I know you guys are really wondering about this one, right? So let's talk about it. The wide gate is ever before us. We must turn from it. You have to turn from your sin. We must turn from its activities, turn from the crowd, turn from our own sin. Turn to face the narrow gate, repent. Repent actually means to turn around, in case you guys didn't know that. It means to change your direction. In other words, what you are saying to God is, I'm wrong, God. and you're right. But see, as long as you're looking at the narrow gate, you have your back to God. When I turn my back to people, I'm not talking to them. When I turn my back to people, I'm ignoring them. When I turn my back to people, I'm doing my thing. When I turn my back on people, I'm going another direction. When we face the wide gate, we are turning our back on Jesus. When we face the wide gate, we are going our own direction. When we face the wide gate, we are in rebellion to God. When we turn around, we say to God, I'm facing you. I'm repenting from my sin. I believe in what you have to say. I trust in what you have to say. I know that this is the direction I need to go in. Doesn't look like it is. There's hardly anybody else around here. Sometimes I feel like I'm the only one, but I know that you're here with me, Jesus, and I'm turning to face you to show me the way. So we have to repent. We have to tell God we are wrong. You cannot come to God and say, I believe in you, but my sin is okay with you. It doesn't work that way. That's not true repentance. That's not true belief. That's not turning your life around. That's saying, I want you, God, and my sin. You have to come to him and admit to him that your sin is wrong. Luke 13:3, and this is Jesus talking, just so you know the pastor's telling you the truth. I like to throw scripture in it. No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Jesus is saying, if you don't turn around, you're going to perish. You're going to fall into the trap of the wide gate. This is Jesus talking. But Pastor, people wrote the Bible. Okay. The hand of man wrote the Bible. But it was inspired. It was breathed out by the breath of God. And he is speaking to us in the only book that he wrote. Acts 17:30 says this, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. You see, in the Old Testament, Jesus had not come to pay for our penalties of sin. Or should I say our penalty? And listen, God overlooked that because there was no way out. He understood why you weren't repenting then. But now we have the Holy Ghost. Now we have the grace that gives us the strength to turn around and repent. Now we have Jesus Christ. Now we know that all we have to do is go to God through Jesus and say, forgive me. Ask him. Ask him. Seek him. Knock. And he will open the door. He will open the door. The Bible says that we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Our own salvation. You see, you can't look at your mom and dad and say, well, they were Christians and I'm saved. My mom and dad said that I'm saved, so I am. You can't do that. My friend said that I'm saved. You can't do that. This is something between you and God. The pastor said I was saved. I don't know if you're saved or not. It's between you and God. I don't know what you believe in your heart. This is a very, very important subject that you and everyone in here and everybody that you have contact with should know about. That salvation is something that you need to work out between you and God with fear and trembling. There's no more excuse for coming to God and saying, well, I'm sorry, but I'll do better next time. It's not about that. His son Jesus died for us. You have the opportunity now to be forgiven, and anyone who doesn't take that opportunity will be left without an excuse on the day of judgment. We must confess. Now, we're talking about how to get into the narrow gate. We must confess that we do not know the way to the narrow gate and ask, seek, and knock on the gate for it to open to us. You see, sometimes you got to come to God and you got to tell him, I don't believe. You got to pound on that door. I want to know because I don't believe you. I don't believe in you. Show me. He respects that because he teaches us to come boldly to the throne. He teaches us to ask, seek, and knock. And if you have to, pound on that door until he answers you. But your heart has to want it. Your heart has to knock for it. Your heart has to seek after it. He only fellowships with those who come through the narrow gate, who knock, who seek, who ask him. That's what I'm telling you guys that you need to do to get through that narrow gate. If you're in a situation in your life right now where you feel like you're all alone, like you thought you had all the answers, if you're in a situation right now where sin has got you under its control, under its direction, and you feel lost, lonely, depressed, and down, and no hope, and you feel like your life is going nowhere, understand that this life is forfeit, because when God comes back, he is going to resurrect the dead, and those who believe will be lifted up to eternal life. We're going to get new bodies, people. We're not going to be ghosts and angels floating around. We're going to have physical bodies. There's going to be a new Jerusalem coming down from the sky, and God is going to dwell with us. No sickness, no pain, no lying, no stealing, no diseases, no Ebola. All of this stuff is going to be wiped out, and he's going to wipe every tear from every eye, and there's going to be no more grieving, except for those who rejected Jesus Christ. They're going to look on to see in the abyss what they rejected here on earth, because they went through the broad gate. In closing, I want to say, Jesus is the narrow gate. Jesus is the narrow gate, and all those who ask him will be forgiven, and they will have eternal life through him.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.